Welcome to the Intentional Partnerships Podcast. We are actually live coming to you from the International Parents as Teachers Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And Lindsay, I know you've been working hard this week, but we've got a lot of great people here, and we're really excited about our guest as well today.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And we've got a couple episodes of guests coming to you live, so look forward to that. And today we are talking with Marina, who I'll let her introduce herself in a little bit, but she is a parent educator who's done some wonderful work, and we were super excited to get her on here with us today. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. So do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Marina Montoya. I've been a parent educator for 16 years. I work in the Latino Community Development Agency in Oklahoma City.
And so just a real quick disclaimer, for those of you that, I know we kind of throw around terminology, but for those of you that are not from parents as teachers, a parent educator is home visitor. They are the people who are implementing our curriculum in homes, working directly with families.
So tell us about your work. You're doing some things that are really awesome, getting some really good results, but what led you to do some of the things that you're doing now? What are you doing, and kind of what was the discovery that you had in working with your families?
Yes, I came from Mexico to Oklahoma City, and I went to the Latino agency because I was looking for a job to help my people, you know, to work with my community. I start to work in this wonderful program, and I am very happy to help people and parents, especially parents.
So what were some of the challenges when you started working as a parent educator? What were some of your challenges and some of the struggles that you had when you first started doing that?
When I arrived to Oklahoma, I didn't know the resources we had here in the United States. It was one challenge. My supervisor, she helped me a lot to know more resources, because resources in Mexico, I was able to learn more about the resources. One other challenge was, of course, the language. Even though I studied English in Mexico at the university, practice is very different when you are directly.
When you're there, yeah.
Yes, when you're there.
Well, and it's really kind of an incredible story compared to a lot of people that we know that have come over from either Mexico or South America or Central America. So how long were you in country before you became a parent educator?
In my country?
Yeah, how long were you in the United States before you started working for PAT?
I started to work the same year. Everything was
I think it's incredible.
New
yeah.
for me.
So when you talk about, so you guys work with, you said primarily families who are also immigrant families from Latino countries, correct?
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in terms of, you know, you said resources are really different in Mexico. So how does that look when you're trying to support parents here? Like, are they easier to engage? Are they more difficult to engage? Like, does it look for them very different also?
Yes, to me, that's a wonderful question, because since they don't know the resources and they are basically by themselves, they are looking for help. It's very easy to connect with them because they are waiting for somebody. So that's very rewarding to me, because they really appreciate your help. They are very appreciative. They are very receptive. Oh, I love them.
Good. That's awesome. I mean, it's so good to hear, because you guys serve, how many families do you serve?
I have 21.
So you have 21.
Yes,
and then your program as a whole is pretty large, right?
Yes, the program is pretty large. Each worker has a 21 families caseload. So we are close to 100 families.
Yeah, that's a lot of families.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Just for one agency to be serving 100 families is huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge program. We are planning to have more workers.
Plenty of work to do.
Yes. Yes, plenty of work.
So as you come across these families, when you get to those first visits, and we talk about all the needs that they have, and all that, they're glad to see you, glad to have you, because they're like, look, we need some help. What are some of their biggest challenges at the beginning of your relationship with them?
the biggest challenge is to work with their expectations. Because sometimes they have a very different expectation of the program. And some families want to focus on their needs. Right. I need to talk about this. I need to do this. Please, can you help me to translate this? And sometimes it's hard to do parent-child interactions.
Right.
Because they focus in their needs. So it's a big challenge to refocus them.
Right.
But of course, we help here. We help them a lot with their needs. But we need to also work with parent-child interactions and that kind of things that parents as teachers focus.
When you think about who's in the home, right? Are you guys working with like more extended family? Are you often seeing just mom and dad? Or who all are you guys trying to engage in your visits?
We try to engage moms, dads, the whole family, basically. This program, the most of the times, moms are the primary caregiver because dads, they work all day long. Moms are the primary caregiver.
So one of the things that we know when we work with particularly recent immigrant families, like you said, they have so many needs, so it's hard to get them focused on the child. But we also see that, particularly among Hispanic immigrants, a lot of times they don't necessarily have the belief that this young child is really a learner. And this young child really has this capacity to gain vocabulary. So when you're talking about how, first off, they like, just help me, help me, help me. But you also see that they don't always have the same understanding as maybe we do of how much this child can grow and learn. Do you see that as, is that part of what you see when you talk to families? Because we see that particularly with kids that are not school age. When they're school age, the mindset is go to school and learn. Those people will teach you. But do you see that in the younger children as far as, well, they're young, so what are they here to learn? That's been some of our experience, but you're in those homes every day. So what do you see?
Exactly. That's a very good point because they don't realize that this is very important about their children. When we start to talk about child development, when we use the tools for development as ASQs, Piccolo is a great tool, actually, because I use this tool to discuss with parents about the importance of parent-child interactions. And, of course, the tools of parents as teachers talk about a very important point.
Just because upper-middle-class white mentality is this kid should be learning French when they're 3 months old.
Yeah.
Right. But some, particularly our immigrant families, think, well, they'll learn when they're in school. But what happens to see the parents see their child growing from these activities? Like, how do the parents react when they see their children in that way?
It's amazing. It's amazing because they really say that they are learning new things. And it's very rewarding to see how they improve their parent-child interactions and how they change their mind. That education, early education and early parent-child interactions are very important for these children. I think we are making a difference, a big difference on their lives. Because I have clients when I start to do home visits and they came to my office to visit me and the children, they are bright. They are very smart. They are focusing to have a career, education. I am very happy for them.
You talked earlier about having to redirect families from their needs to talk about their children, and then you just talked now about how, you know, sometimes it's not as easy necessarily to get families in there. So what are some strategies that you guys are using or that you use when you're visiting families to really pull them in to think about child development and think about these topics that you want them to talk about when their idea is different than what you came in with?
I really use the parents as teachers handouts. I love milestones. I discuss with them milestones. They say, my child needs to do this. I can work. The suggestions you are telling me. So it's a wonderful tool.
For those of you that don't know, the ASQ is the Ages and Stages Questionnaire.
Yeah.
So it's a tool that we use to look at child development. And I think that's really interesting because we think, right, that's why we give child development information, because we think it's a great way for parents to say, I can see my kid in that, right? And so making that very real for families and allowing them to find their kid in what you're talking about makes them a little more likely to jump in, I think. So one of the things that I was told about Marina that I want her to share with everyone here is, so their program, part of Parents as Teachers is we have home visiting and then there's also group connections, which is another big part of how we're connecting families not only with their child but also with the larger community around them, because we know social support is important for raising kiddos as well. So Marina's program had groups that were maybe not as well attended as they could have been.
Yes.
And then, but lately you've had a lot of success in turning that around, and now you have very well attended groups, right?
That's right, Lindsay. We had very low attendance in group connections, and we decided to have a CQI, the continuous quality improvement, in order to improve the attendance to the group connections. And we did it first. We created a survey and we polled the families, and the survey asked about their preference on days of the week, times, and locations. And the families pick up the topics of interest. They also just suggested some topics, and with that we were able to determine the topics for a full year.
So you really brought families in as partners in that process.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
You know, as we believe that, and we think research shows that, once you bring families in, you really hopefully get a higher attendance rate, right? That makes sense logically, but I know it doesn't always work that way in person. So what are some of the topics? Did any of the topics, like, surprise you that you were like, oh, we would not have thought of that?
Some of the topics were, for example, day at the park. They picked that topic, and nutrition, discipline. Yes, it's a very, very good topic. Party training, self-care, sexuality. They were the most popular.
So how many people do you have on average at a group?
Before the CQI, we had about 7, 5, 4. Yeah, very low attendance.
And in terms of overall serving your families now and what they're doing in the rest of the program, have you seen that change as well as they start to come to groups more?
Oh, yes, a huge change. Right now, they participate a lot, about 30, 35, 40. The group connection with more attendance, we had 155 people.
That's good.
It's amazing.
It's quite a difference from 4.
Yes, a huge difference. We also are BlockFest, certified site of BlockFest, and we usually have about 2 BlockFests. It's very popular, too, because in each session, we have about 4 to 5 sessions. In each session participates about 50 people. So
when you talk about working with the family, and we see you've got recent families just coming into the country and they're just coming into the program, do you see a change in either their needs or their perceptions as not only the child grows, but they spent more time in a new place, in a new culture? In other words, you know, like their needs when they first get here, if they were, maybe when you first come across them, as their child grows, do you see that the culture plays a role, both the culture that they come from, but the culture that they're in? Or do you feel that they're even changing cultures because they're such a tight-knit community? You know, as the child grows, do you see their needs changing based on the needs of the child or their interaction within the bigger culture around them?
I think both. They have these both things. But with the program, they focus more on child. And I really like that.
Yeah. So as the program goes, they begin to understand more and more about what we're about in PAT. And so they focus on that as well.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right. Well, this has been an awesome conversation. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you a little bit more later about everything you're doing. But for those of you listening, we hope you enjoyed and learned some things from us here today again. And we will catch up with you guys soon on the next episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast has been a collaboration between Parents as Teachers National Center and Strong Fathers, Strong Families, LLC. To learn more, visit us at either www.parentsasteachers.org or www.strongfathers.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook